A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can underclassmen who aren't drafted go back to college? Rivals has arrived. Hi, Jason. Welcome to Rivals. He's Jason Buck. I'm Scott Mitchell. And just so you know, we are on social media. And you can find us wherever you find your podcast. But we'd love to hear from you on our social sites. So at Facebook, it's the Rivals podcast. Yeah. And then you can find us on Twitter at the Rivals Show.
Their input would be awesome. Love some questions
love the input.
Here
we get some great
help
feedback.
Us with our content.
Great feedback. Yeah. Awesome things from our listeners. So check us out on those social sites, and we appreciate it. All right. So I was an underclassman, and I was drafted. It certainly didn't end out the way I thought it was going
to. Right. You got sold a bill of goods.
But I think if I'd had the opportunity to go back.
Versus being fourth round?
I'd have gone back.
No, absolutely,
even
man.
Though I got drafted.
Yeah.
I certainly would have gone back knowing kind of after the fact kind of thing. So,
right.
So should underclassmen be allowed to go back?
You know what? In my life as an athlete, whether it's the high school level or the college level or the NFL level, I really believe in taking care of the athlete first, because I think everybody wins when they do that. And in this case, the high school athlete that needs to, you know, is at a Bingham High School, for example, and they have 100 kids out for the team, and he could go start for, you know, another school 30 miles away, and he loves the game enough to go transfer down there and play a senior year versus get cut from Bingham and not be allowed to play at another, you know, high school. The kid should be able to go do that. And I really believe about taking care of him, and I believe that at the college level too. I think, you know, player, your situation was an excellent one because these guys will get pressure from whether it's family, friends, agents get hold of them. They get some bad
advice.
Or just
they're self-absorbed and think, I'm the, you know.
Right, and they're not mature enough at that time in their life, and they make a big mistake. And, you know, people make mistakes, and they go out there and they draft them fourth round or fifth or sixth or seventh, and you're like, ooh. Man, I should have stayed with my guys. And most coaches, it'd be like, you know, if a kid, I'm a head coach, and a kid comes into me and goes, man, coach, I really screwed up. I am so sorry. I didn't listen to you. You gave me that advice. Can I please come back? As a coach, you're going to go, you put your arm around him, and you go, yeah, I hope you learned a lesson, right? And, you know, come back and welcome him home.
I don't think they'll say, I hope you learned a lesson. I think they would accept him back with open
arms.
Yeah,
you need that stud on that roster.
Most coaches, I know at the University of Utah, they try to help a player get an honest evaluation of where they are and where they're more, because they realize that this is a unique opportunity and a chance to go do this. This isn't something that just happens every day. And you don't know. It's a crapshoot, because if you look at the Utah players, some of these, like, you know, Zach Moss, of course, he was injured, but he's a fairly well-regarded running back, will probably be the all-time leading rusher in Utah history after this season. And he could have looked at the draft and they said, all right, this is a heavily defensive front-end loaded draft.
Yeah.
So you're going to get drafted later rounds. Next year, maybe there's a more of an influence on offensive players or running backs. So just by the nature of who's available and how good they are in the draft can kind of play a part in it, because two defensive linemen at Utah, Bradley Anae and Leckie Fotu, were highly considered players, but they also knew this is a deep draft in defensive linemen. So wait a year.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to have a better draft opportunity.
Especially with linemen, I think they're better off developing and maturing that extra year or two. Especially, you know, I was in that, like you, I was in that situation. We were in the day where it was just barely getting thought of, you know, entering the draft early. Bosworth did it, you know, from Oklahoma. You know, it was like, I think it might have been one of the very first ones. But, you know, I had people starting to approach me after I was WAC Defensive Player of the Year and a, you know, All-American and stuff my junior year. They're going, hey, you're going to go late first round, early second round if you join the draft right now. And the NFL had been my dream my entire life. But I analyzed it and thought about it. And I thought, you know what? I was very loyal to my school, my guys, my teammates. I'm like, I want to finish this out. You know, I want to finish it out for BYU. I'm going to represent BYU the rest of my life. That was a big part of my decision. And I knew in my heart I had a chance at the Outland Trophy. And I wanted that so bad. So it all fit. And I was like, I'm not going to go for the NFL right now just to, even though they told me first and second, who knows where I would have went. But I made the right decision. I stayed that extra year. I won the Outland and I went, you know, 17th player picked overall. And I don't know what would have happened if I would have made that other decision. But I watched these other kids that go too early, Scott. Eric Mika, for example, that played high school basketball with my son, you know, at Lone Peak and went to BYU just a couple years and then right. Declared for the draft. And I'm just screaming. I'm like, why don't they come talk to other pro? They know me, you know?
It was an honor code thing.
I'm like, no, don't do that to that kid.
I'm just kidding.
He's so white toast,
he's
if you will.
He's so honor code worthy.
Yeah. That's not the issue. He got listening to people he should never have listened to. A big body guy like that that plays the big game needs to put on weight and size and muscle and maturity, and you play it out at BYU, man. You play it out, and then you're more mature enough, and now he's playing in Europe. All right, the NBA was just a blowout.
No, it's a great point. All right, let's do a little poll just between you and me.
Okay.
Do you let a player come back if they've declared for the draft and they don't get drafted? Do you let them back?
Yeah, absolutely do.
I do, too.
I put my arm around them and say, we love you. You're part of this family.
All right, I do,
bring
too.
Them right back in.
There you go. We have a unanimous vote here from us.
Because we're both coaches, and we've both been in that situation, and we've been coaches, too.
Yeah. I hate when we agree, but whatever.
I do, but it happens once in a while. We're like 1-for-4 today.
Is that your math again?
I just pull it out, man. Pull it out thin air right there.
All right. Rivals has arrived, and now it is time to go.
Don't make fun of my math anymore.
No, you can text Rivals to 65537. Add up all those numbers, see what you come up with, Jason.
Undefeated.
You can go to Facebook @The Rivals Podcast, Twitter @The Rivals Show, and we'll catch you soon.